And oh, you can't get them to read a line in the church up here. Do you know that they're grown-ups like that? Any of you like that? Grown-ups, they wouldn't read a scripture. So when the little ones come up front, we have to give them encouragement, don't we? Because they memorized their lines. Last night they were reading the paper. Today they didn't read the paper. Oh boy, they just made my heart jump. They're so wonderful and so faithful. And they were here, not last night, I meant on Friday night. And so today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. And my sermon title is, His Name Says It All. There's a song that we're going to sing, a hymn that we're going to sing, you know, afterwards, after the preaching. And it says, it's called, There's Something About That Name. And it says, Jesus, 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 there is just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Do you know that kings and kingdoms have truly passed away? And we're still calling on the name of Jesus. There have been the God's dead movement. There have been the Assyrians are gone. The Babylonians are gone. Those were the kingdoms. They're gone. Yet the name of Jesus stands. And there's another one that says his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him. Love and adore him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Church, his name is wonderful. Yes, there is something about that name. What is so awesome and wonderful about the name of Jesus? People have called on the name of Jesus in hospitals, on battlefields, as we read from, you'll read from that Facebook post, in prisons, on sick beds, in good times and in bad times. When we don't understand, when we're confused, when we are upset, called on the name of Jesus. Scripture will tell us today that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, glory to God. Approximately 700 years before the birth of the promised Messiah, Isaiah prophesied that a virgin would conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. That is Isaiah 7:14. Now, there's been other theological debate that maybe it wasn't pointing to the Messiah or not. That will always happen. For me, we believe. Years later, the Apostle Matthew referred to Isaiah's prophecy, specifying once again that they call his name Emmanuel. Now, many have wondered why, if the promised son of Mary was supposed to be called Emmanuel, his name is never used in the New Testament aside from Matthew's quotation in 7:14. You see, when you look at the gospel, Matthew and Luke are the ones who begin with the birth of Jesus. Matthew speaks of the genealogy, and then he gets into the birth of Jesus, because Matthew is speaking to a Jewish audience. And they understand the prophets. They know about the prophets, the Isaiah prophets, the Jeremiah prophets. They know about them, and they have been expecting the Messiah. Luke speaks from a woman's, the mother's point of view, and it's the story of Elizabeth and Mary and angel Gabriel showing up and saying to call his name Jesus. When you look at the other two gospels, Mark doesn't begin there. Mark begins with him grown, and he's coming to be baptized. And then John goes back to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So for these two gospels, we see the birth of Jesus. Now we notice in Luke says that angel came up to Mary and says, Mary, the kids just said it, Mary, you know, you're going to have a baby. Your Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and she's a virgin, remember now, church, and she's going to be pregnant, and you're going to have a baby, and that's a whole other story with poor Joseph. It's told that she's going to have a baby, and he's never, you know, had marital relations with her. But he's supposed to call him Jesus. Now we get to Matthew. Matthew is the one we read today. And the first piece of the pericope of that little section that we read says you're supposed to call him Jesus, right? His name is supposed to be. And then Joseph gets a dream, and in the dream, God tells him to call him what? Emmanuel, God with us. So one could begin to wonder, does he have two names? Yet we don't tend to call him Emmanuel in our daily lives. Throughout the Old Testament, in the New Testament, neither Mary, Joseph, John the Baptist, Peter, Paul, or the other disciples ever called the Messiah Emmanuel. They call him Jesus. To better understand what Isaiah meant by the name Emmanuel, one must consider what the prophets wrote. Isaiah is also going to say later on in one of his prophecies, he's going to say, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Right? Do you know that from Isaiah 9:6? He listed all these names. So here's what I'm going to submit to you. Jesus is his given name. Right? Jesus. But his attribute is Emmanuel, God with us. Do you see? He's going to be Jesus. That's his name. Like my name is Marjorie. But his name, Jesus, means he's Savior. But he's more than Savior. He could be Wonderful Counselor. He could be Everlasting Father. But beyond that, he is Emmanuel, God with us. And Emmanuel, God with us, is a name that really describes the nature of the Messiah. Right? The nature of the Messiah. It is as if a child is born and he says, this child is going to be John. But he's going to be a great physician, a doctor. You don't walk around and call him doctor, not at that time. Later on when they get grown, you call him, and they become a doctor, you call him doc or doctor. But you could say, my son John is going to become a doctor because he's going to be a healer of the nation. Amen. Do you see? Because this is what he's going to, this is the embodiment of him. So Emmanuel, God with us, would be the embodiment of Jesus Christ. His attribute, that thing that would set him apart and make him different than any other person, any other God. You see, there is no other God or gods in the world that is called Emmanuel, God with us. And I'm going to show you why that is important to us. And that's why that gives us joy today. That is Emmanuel, God with us, even when we are in the midst of everything. We see in Luke, he says he'll be great and he'll be called the Son of the Most High and the Lord God. But in Matthew, we are reminded. You see, in Hebrew, to be called and to be is often the same. In Hebrew, to be called and to be, it's the same. To be called Emmanuel and to be Emmanuel, it's the same. And so here in this Matthew text today, friends, Matthew doesn't want Joseph or any of us to get stuck in the dream. He wants us to understand that this child that is born that we saw today in the manger, that this baby we saw in the manger, that's Jesus being born, the children were holding the baby Jesus, that name given to him, Jesus, is the name we're going to be using to call him, but what he's going to do for us is going to come out of Emmanuel, God with us. And why is that important for us? You see, we don't have to go find him in some other realm, because he has already found us in exactly this realm and in this world. Our God has become vulnerable for us. Emmanuel is God with us in the cancer clinic. Do you know that? When somebody is in the cancer clinic, there is Emmanuel, God with us, right there. Emmanuel is God with us in the Alzheimer's ward at the local nursing home. A friend of mine, Rachel Bird, whose mother had Alzheimer's and very advanced at the time. And when we were in Japan, she was telling us this, you know, her story, this little snippet, because we have to do reflections when we are on a mission trip. We come together at night and we reflect on the impressions of the places we have been. And she told the story that her mother had Alzheimer's so bad, she had so progressed, that she never remembered any of them. Not her, no one who came. But each time they went to look for her, she would be sitting there, and as soon as she saw someone, she would just say, Jesus. Amen. Jesus. And they couldn't understand till the day she died. We'd get to the room, and she would just say, Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel is God with us when the pink slip comes, when we lose our job. And we get overwhelmed and we don't know where to turn. Is Emmanuel God with us? Emmanuel is God with us when we lose a beloved child. I spoke to a member this week who, one of their cousins, her dear cousin, second cousin, lost a little baby, 3 months old, I believe, who had born premature and then passed away unexpectedly. And all I really could say to her was, God is with them. There's no words to explain, but to know that Emmanuel, God with you, will bring you through. Emmanuel is God with us when our children tell us that they hate us, or something that gets us upset. Emmanuel is God with us when your dear spouse or someone is going through sickness and you don't have an answer. Ever and always, Jesus stares straight into your eyes and my eyes, and he does so not only when we can smile back, but most certainly also when we open our eyes in tears. Emmanuel, God with us. That's why God wanted us to hear that. In fact, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, even in those times when we are so angry with God that you refuse to meet his eyes. Even when we are so angry with God, he's still Emmanuel, God with us. Our anger doesn't turn him away. But even when you feel like you can't look at him or speak to him, he never looks away from us. He can't. His name says it all, that he must be Emmanuel, God with us. I read this little reflection about a place in Manila, a true story, that there are these poor folks who would sit on the garbage dump, piles of garbage dump, and they would live on it. I think it's now been torn down. But they would live in these garbage dumps. They had no place to live. And they would get their foods. They would spend some of them their entire lives there. And they would live there, get their food there and their clothes, and living in these terrible conditions. Children, when you get there, they'll be digging through the garbage. Yet many Christian missionaries would go there to live in those dumps, go to those dumps themselves, to tell them one thing, to bring hope of Jesus Christ. Of course, they bring other things. But to tell them that there is Jesus. Missionaries, Christian believers, would go to those dumps, smelly place, to tell them the name, Jesus, God with us. That God is with you in these dumps. God is with you in the crack houses. God is with you when you're drug addicted. You can't get rid of God. That God, I'm telling you, can't. Don't stop trying. If you're here, I'm telling you, you're wasting good time. Because his name demands that once you accept him as your Lord and Savior, his name demands that he's going to be with you whether you want it or not. Some folks could say it could be a good marriage or a bad marriage. But on Jesus' side, it doesn't matter. He's Emmanuel. And because he's Emmanuel, God with us, when you're at home, when you don't feel so well, you could call on him. You don't have to get up and come here. You don't have to leave your house to come to the church to find God. He's not a stone God. He's in you. Wherever you are, he's in you. Emmanuel, God with us. And so that name was important for us to know that he was not just coming to save us from sin, right? But he was going to be with us through whatever we're going through. Someone sent me a picture when her husband was being operated on, and something on Facebook they must have found. And she was going to be operated on, and in this picture on Facebook, it was a text. There's a picture of the surgeon, if a surgeon, not her, operating on this person, and standing next to the surgeon is a picture of Jesus. That somebody on Facebook, on the internet, had put it together. And standing next to the surgeon, right behind the surgeon, was a picture of Jesus, was an image of Jesus. And this family who had been so scared, she said, that's what gave her hope. Because Emmanuel, God, I still have it on my text. That there was Jesus standing, watching the surgeon, in essence, guiding the surgeon.
Amen.
What an imagery to have. Every now and then I look at it, and I get a little weary. I look at it and I think, Emmanuel, God, is here, church. That's why we have joy this morning. Because he's here. You know, there's nobody living or yet born who could take this away from me. I'm sold out that Emmanuel, God with us, is with us. With you and me this morning. And he's especially with us when we're going through difficult times. And so today on this fourth Sunday of Advent, that's why Advent talks of hope. peace, love, and joy. Because Christ came into the world not to make the world perfect. It will come in time, in his second coming. But to allow us to have hope, peace, love, and joy in an imperfect world until he comes the second time. While we're waiting for his second coming, we can yet have hope, love, peace, and joy because Emmanuel, God with us, is with you and me this day. Amen. Amen.